I want to give a brief introduction to Brother Garen. Those that know him know he knows a lot, about a lot. He can do a lot, but he has a servant's heart and a humble spirit. And as long as I've known him, he's had a heart for the ministry and a heart for Christian camping. And the reason for that is not just he loves the outdoors or even that he just loves people. He loves souls, as we should. And that is behind all that service. I'm going to open in prayer and mention a couple things. Let me share with you, some of you know that Joan Hill fell. She was at the airport visiting with Ellie and fell and got a mild concussion, but her face is pretty banged up and swollen. And we ask that you would be in prayer for her. I mentioned Wednesday night Ted Alspa having a mix-up on some of his medications, and he is not able to be in the pulpit today, and I don't know any more details than that. I'll be praying for Josh Perkins. Some of you know that we announced, I think Wednesday, that Josh Perkins, we're going to extend our missions month by a week. September, well, you know, that's only fair. We're doing August weather in September. We did our September weather in August, so we're going to extend our, it's the time difference. We're going to extend our missions month into October, and Josh Perkins will be with us on that Sunday. And I think that pretty well covers it. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we just sang about songs of testimony, thank you for the fact that every believer in this room can say, you met me at my well. Jesus sought me out. Jesus arrested me with the truth. Lord, we thank you that to this woman at the well, there was a exposure of her sin and a presentation of mercy. And we pray that we would be sweet as we evangelize. We pray for Tom Wilson. Give him endurance in the next coming weeks as they will be full of these opportunities to get treatment through this chemo and opportunities to be a witness. Grow him in godliness through this. We thank you that you use many things to act as the refining fire to make us more like Christ. We pray for Joan Hill that you will give her rest today, clear her head, give her her healing, help her to be a continuing witness to Russ, her husband. Thank you that you gave her that spring of water and the blessing that she has been to ladies in this church and shut-ins like Amy. We pray for Brother Ted and the ministries that you've given him. Whatever he's going through right now, whatever the confusion or debilitation, whatever the need is, we ask that, as was sung a few minutes ago, that you would be his everlasting strength. Thank you, Lord, for Josh Perkins and his family, for the increase in their family, and for giving permission with this work permit. But there seems to be a caveat that they're saying that this will be the last time that they would give this permission, which is a first time that any of he or his coworkers have heard. Meet his needs, help him as he may even be speaking in a church today. And Lord, we thank you for the perfect gift, the water of life, we can say that you have filled us, and we will never thirst again. How many things people look to in this world that will satisfy, that will give relief, that will give a sense of meaning, that will give that forgiveness, it is only found in Jesus Christ alone. So we thank you for Tony and Lynn Garen, for their the way that you've used them in Washington Courthouse, in Peniel, and in this church, the encouragement they are to us as he shares the word today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Usually when Pastor Hamilton calls me on the phone, I usually, what a joy, what a thrill, what a blessing. And I really mean that. It is a joy and a thrill and a blessing to be able to be with you today. It's a blessing to have my wife with me. A lot of times in these last many years, she has had other responsibilities and never able to go with me. And I'm just blessed to have her with me today. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 4. I want to take this story of Jesus, as Pastor Smith had already talked to you about. He talked to Nicodemus, and now, Nicodemus, you must be born again. But now he talks about this living water. But more than that, I want us to understand how important it is to give the message that is only through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. He came to seek and to save those which were lost. And as he came to seek and to save those which were lost, I want us to look this morning very quickly as we look at this story that many of you know. You've heard it over and over again. But just some of the things in here that Jesus definitely said, this is what must be done. And as he says this must be done, he says, I'm going to show you how. Isn't it wonderful when we have the God of heaven to say, this is how it's done. This is what you need to learn. There's principles here that I think we can use to support evangelism, fellowship, and encouragement. If I had to ask this morning, how many of you need to be encouraged? Maybe not everybody would raise their hand. A lot of people raise their hand. But can I tell you, everybody needs to be encouraged today? We need to be encouraged in the truth. We need the fellowship. I remember during COVID, how hard that was, and what the church yearned for was fellowship. And we need fellowship, and we need encouragement, but we also need discipleship. We need to understand the truth and how we apply that truth very practically. I do love people. I don't know that I meet a stranger. I enjoy interacting with people, and I love this story because Jesus does some. And one part of my message is nudging. Sometimes we need a nudge, right? And I think this morning, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want us to see the need, the nudge, and then the narrative. How are we going to do that? There's your outline. Not hard, but as we look at this morning, how are we going to apply this to our lives? If you're a Christian here this morning, this is for you. If you are unsaved and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you're just kind of figuring things out. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen to how he approaches people in love, in grace, but also very bluntly. Very bluntly. So let's look in God's Word. If you have your Bibles out, turn to John chapter 4. Just look at verse 1. It says, therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize, but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again unto Galilee. Verse 4 says this, but he needed to go through Samaria. Jesus knows our needs. Jesus knew what he needed to do and where he needed to be present. By the way, when you are out and about and you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, Jesus is present with you. Jesus is present beside, and he knows there's a need for us to present Christ and Jesus only. So often I like to present myself. That's my pride. No, we're to present Jesus. And he says, I need to go. I could go down by the ocean. I could go up around the mountains and around Samaria, because that's what a good Jew would do. But he said, no, I need to go through Samaria. Then he says this, and I love this. He says, as he goes, so he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, now being wearied from his journey, sat by the well. It was about the sixth hour, it's about noon. I want you to notice there was a need for Jesus to rest. It shows us his incarnation. It shows us his humanity. And it shows us that he had a plan. It shows us that he went to Samaria, to Sychar, and then to Jacob's well that had history. That had history to know that he can use the things around him to portray the gospel. I think that's important. I think we miss that sometimes. Did you realize the gospel is around us all the time? When I talk to people and when I see people, I try to think to myself, how can we bring forth the word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and promote the gospel? How can we share with people the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection in the area that we're at, where God sets us? And Jesus sat down at the well, and he saw a need. And he said, I have a need, I thirst. I'm going to try to meet my need physically, humanity, by meeting the need of someone else. And then comes along this woman. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. And I think Jesus nudges. He knows the situation. He knows this woman. Why would she come in the middle of the day? Not normal. Normal ladies would come in the morning or in the evening, but not in the middle of the day where it was so hot. So he knew there was a reason. And usually if you come when nobody's around, you don't want to see anybody and you don't want to talk to anybody. Have you ever done that? You ever gone a place that you know, I'm going to go here because I know nobody's going to be there. I just don't want to talk to anybody or do anything. Usually that's when you need somebody to talk to you. Usually you need the help. And here's Jesus, and listen to his nudge. He says, give me drink. Give me drink. As I looked that up, I thought it was very interesting. I thought that's pretty blunt. But Jesus, sitting there, looks at the woman and says, give me to drink. And that's why she comes back and says, whoa, I know who you are by the way you're dressed. I know who you are, and what are you doing? So he nudges her to ask the question, why should I? You know what? The world is asking, why should I? Why should I be like you? Now, you have a good testimony, I'm sure, and as we live our life, our testimony so shines. Let this light shine in you, that you may let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works, glorify your Father in heaven. So you have a testimony. I'm talking to the church. And he looks at her and she says, why should I be like you? We have kids that come to camp, and I love camp. I have a deep love to go to camp. I have a camp out in Utah that I go to and speak to Mormon kids. And it's a wonderful thing when the light goes off. But they ask, why should I follow Christ? Why should I? And I think to myself, we need to understand the Lord Jesus Christ is putting out the question there, give me to drink, because he's poking the bear, so to speak. Sometimes we think we have to show people love, but sometimes we have to show people, we care about you. Hey, would you help me? Would you do something for me? At our church and our school, people in our community know who I am. And sometimes when I walk in the door, they say, Pastor Garen, how much money do you need? But you know, when I go, and I was just in Capuanas, and the men on the board, I bring Capuanas food all the time up here. But when I come in, I ask questions, but now they're answering before I can ask. What is it that you need? Because I wanted to let people know I have needs. Our congregation have needs. You know, you put yourself in a vulnerable spot. How many of us men want to put ourselves in vulnerable spots? We don't. And yet, if you put yourself in a vulnerable spot, as Jesus looked, and he knew that a response was coming because he was God. But he said, I have a need. Here's the God of heaven. The God of heaven needed for her to ask so he could give her living water. Are we willing to put ourselves in a position to say, I have a need? Would you help? And it starts the conversation. That's the nudge. Look now at the narrative. And you've heard this, but I love this. The woman of Samaria came to draw water and said to Jesus, and Jesus said to her, give me drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. So he's all alone. And the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan woman, for the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. You don't like me. She didn't know him. The persona is, you don't like me. Been at Fayette Bible Church a long time. Fayette Bible Church in the early years in Washington Courthouse was known as the Birch Church. It's a very strict. And in our community, people going, ooh, I know who you are. I know what you do. I don't want that. And they didn't know who we were. And over the years, it's been very interesting to come and to talk with people in our community and to say, hey, I need you to come to church. Oh, it's that church. I said, what do you know about our church? Well, I know the pastor there. By the way, I'm talking to him. Really? You know the pastor? Is he a good guy? I don't know. He's kind of wild. And I say, well, I'm Tony Garen. I'm the pastor. But are we willing? Are we willing to take the step and talk to people? And they come, and would you come? And some people just won't because they're already set. You don't love me. You don't like me. I can't live up to your standard. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Careful. Jesus looks and he nudges her and says, why would you ask of me, a Samaritan woman, to give you water? Aren't you a Jew? And I love Jesus' response. And Jesus responded to it in a way I think we ought to learn. He answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. By the way, you know what? We need to give people the gift of salvation. If I came down and asked you, would you like a gift? If I went to my wife and said, you want a gift? Yeah. And then she'd tell me what gift she wants. But if I came to you, a stranger, and said, hey, I have a gift for you, would you accept this gift? I don't know of anybody that wouldn't accept that gift. I don't know of anybody that wouldn't. Jesus looks at her and says, I know what you need. You need the gift that I would give you. And if you knew who I was, you would know that I have the power to give it to you. Folks, can I tell you something? We have that same power today. The power of the gospel is not in man, it's only in Jesus. And Jesus says, I send you forth with the message and with power to be able to share the gospel with others. We have power to say, I'm going to give you living water. I'm going to share with you a gift that will change your life. And people scratch their heads and they don't believe it. And yet the woman was intrigued, right? Here's the narrative. The woman was intrigued as she said, living water. The woman said to him, this is verse 11, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Sir, I don't see any way you can give me anything. You're all alone. You're not here. I don't see anything but your robes. How are you going to draw living water for me? How are you going to do that? That's the question of the world. The question of the world is how? How are you going to show me that? One of the greatest things of Camp Peniel is we have a week with young people to show them, here is how you receive the gift of God. Here's how you receive the gift of God. We show them through example. We throw them through the preaching of God's word, through edification, through those things that come alongside. And this woman says, I don't see how you're going to do this. And Jesus could have left it at that. But we have a world today, folks, that says, I don't see how you're going to do that. I don't understand. We don't need to stop there. We need to pursue as Jesus kept pursuing. He kind of gave her another nudge. And Jesus answered, verse 13, and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. I think he pointed to the well. I don't know that, but I have an idea that Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. This water I give you will quench your thirst. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us that living water, and it quenched my fears of death. Quenched my fears of death. Quenched my fears of what shall man do unto me? For I am God's child, and God will look after his children. That living water that he has given me boldness and a power to say, I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I am the child of God, and I will live for him. And I will say, thus saith the Lord, no matter what. There's things going on in our world right now that we look at. And we see boldness coming and saying, Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And this message should come from the church. That's us. That's those that believe. And say, we have the gift of living water. Let me share it with you. But we get so caught up in our own lives and our own things and our own priorities that Jesus doesn't have the priority anymore. That in all things Christ might have a preeminent place. Does he? We say that and we know that. And yet, does Christ have a priority in our life over all other things? Because that priority of having Jesus first is that living water that affects others. And the woman said to him, verse 15, Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Give me this water so that I don't have to do what I've been doing. So I have to do what I've been doing. I thirst and I draw in the middle of the day. It's hot. I don't like it. Give me what I like. I deal with children all the time. We have a Christian school. And this year I have been going to, we have 112 parents, 112 parents. I'm making 112 visits this year into homes. Something we haven't done in a while. And can I tell you, I have parents asking me, I've only taken about two or three of these visits. And they ask, well, what can I do to make my children obey? What can I do to take away these pressures? Make my life easier. I thought the Christian school would do this for my child. Scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. And that was to the parent, not to the Christian school. I love Christian education, but we need to educate our parents. This is what the woman was saying. Make my life easier. God has made my life holy. God has made my life happy, but God has not made my life easier. Holiness is happiness. And when we trust that and when we go there, Jesus looked at this woman. This woman said, just give it to me. Here's the other poke. And of course, Jesus knew. He said, Jesus said unto her, call your husband and come here. Call the authority in your life. At that time, they were the authority. Do not talk with the woman. Talk with the head of the house. He said, go call your husband and let us talk. Knowing the issue of her heart. And what does she do? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. You know what most people do? They lie to themselves. I'm okay. We have teenagers that will come to camp, and we know there's issues going on. I'll pull them aside and talk to them. I'm okay, Pastor. I'm okay. We know you're not okay. God knows you're not okay. And sometimes even as his children, as God's child, he comes to us and he says, you do this. And we say, I'm okay. And he knows you're not. And so he says, bring the authority. I have no husband. And Jesus quietly, I think, with a love in his heart, looks and says, you have well said, I have no husbands, for you have five husbands, and the one you're with now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. In that you're true. I saw the truth in your heart. You tried to lie. You tried to manipulate. You tried to move it out of the way. But Jesus gets right to the point. And he says, you are a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He used and said, you're right. You have no husband now. You have five husbands. The one you're with now, you're just living with. Notice how she responds. Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Bet you did. I bet you did perceive he's a prophet. You know. I have a kid in school. His name is Gerard. He is an eighth grader. And he is all boy, all eighth grader, all mouth. Talks constantly. You ever had anybody talk constantly? Just my wife going. Here he is and said, Gerard, you stop. Here's a verse where he says, you know what I'm even thinking. Well, it's not a hard thing to know, Gerard. Here comes Jesus, and she looks, and he says, you bring this in, for you have well said, I have no husband. She says, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. I perceive you know these things. Our fathers worship in this mountain. Notice how she changed the subject. I want you to know, my husband, I'm already guilty. Let's change the subject. Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain. You Jews say it's in Jerusalem, in the place where we ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. Wow. You worship what you do not know. You see, people are following a lie. They're following the great deceptor, which is Satan. They believe a lie that they're okay. They believe a lie that I can live the life I want to, and I don't have to trust in anybody but myself. Everybody else has abandoned me. I'm going to just live for myself. And you believe a lie. He said there's going to be one day that's coming where men won't worship here or in Jerusalem. He said that's what's coming. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. We worship in truth, but we worship in the Spirit. The desire. It's not about the Holy Spirit here. It's about the desire to worship and follow God. It's about the desire to say, all for Jesus. I surrender. All to him I. It's an old hymn, but I know we know it. All to him I freely give. All to him, I'm going to give you everything I have. God, I'm going to surrender all to you. We think in the church today, all we have to do is pray and ask Jesus Christ into our heart and it stops. No, we serve God. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We serve one another. Jesus looked and he said, everything's going to change. You worship me in spirit and in truth. Do we worship God in how we serve one another? Humbly. Sacrificially. You know, you show the world how much you love God by how much you love everybody in this church. The prayer requests, are you bringing them up before the Lord? I'm sure you do. You go the extra step and find out if there's a need. True love doesn't just stop with initial knowledge, right? True love never stops at initial knowledge. I know you have a need. What other needs do you have? How can I go a next step? Not just the first step. We serve our conscience and say, okay, I know you need this, but how much more can I do for you? I get myself in a lot of messes when people need help and I go help them, and now I'm cutting somebody's grass every week. I'm going, what? How'd that happen? But it's because we love the body of Christ. You say, I don't have time. All the time you have is God's time. It's not about your time. It's about God's time. And Jesus comes and he says, woman, you must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. You know what she was saying? She was saying, I know what you're saying, and the Messiah is coming, right? We both believe the Messiah is coming. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And then Jesus lowers the hammer. I who speak to you, I am. I am he. That changes everything. That changed this woman's heart. Because she realized Jesus saw right into her heart. Jesus saw right what she was and what she wasn't. But Jesus also saw somebody that could change lives through his power if she would accept him. Only Jesus. I am him. You're looking for the Messiah. Here I am. There's a world out there, folks, that is looking for a Messiah, and he's here. Are we proclaiming it as we ought? You see, Peniel Bible Camp is here to proclaim Christ to children, to unify the body of Christ. For what reason? Not just so we can have a place to go and be comforted and to experience the beautiful scenery that God has provided for us, folks. That is a tool to reach people for Christ. You see, Jesus was looking at her saying, here I am. What will you do? The interruption. And at this point, his disciples came and marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said of the disciples, what do you seek? Why are you talking with her? You know what Christ said? Ask and ye shall. Seek and ye shall. Knock and it shall be. You know what we're not doing as a church? We're not asking. We're not asking the right person. God, what do you want here? What do you desire here for me? They knew what to ask and didn't ask it. The woman saw the other men coming. She took her water pot, went her way into the city, and said unto the men, come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Did he tell her all things he ever did? Did he? Did Jesus tell this woman at that time, did he tell her everything she had always done? No, he didn't get a list out and go like this. He said, I know who you are. I don't have to list it. I know you're a liar and a sinner. I know you're a liar and a sinner. And I came to seek and to save liars and sinners. That's all she needed to know. Everything I've ever done goes back to those two points. I'm a liar and I'm a sinner. People deceive themselves all the time. And we're all sinners. We lie to ourselves. Why do we lie to ourselves? If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, and you're saying you're okay, you're lying to yourself. And Jesus knows it. She got the understanding to know, this is what I need. This is the Messiah. Come and look at this man that told me everything I ever did. Wow. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Christ? What a question. You want salvation? Is this the Christ you want? So the men didn't just believe her. right? Because she was no liar. She was known to have many husbands. There's not a lot of trust there. Notice what the men did. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat. I have food to eat which you do not know of." Therefore, the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" I think it's interesting. They asked, but they never gave him anything. "What do you want to eat?" Jesus said unto them, "My food is to do the will of him who hath sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are 4 months and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look to the fields. They are white already to harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life." Did you catch that? "And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For this is the true saying, one sows, another reaps. I send you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have not entered into their labors." Boy, what a challenge to the church. Don't just think because you have a camp that you're doing the work. God has given us opportunities, and he expects every man to grab hold of the plow and help plow. Okay? Are we doing that? Look at verse 39. I'm almost done, I promise. "And many of the Samaritans of that city believed him because of the word of the woman who testified. And he told me all things that I did, so that when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him. And we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world." Introduce people to Jesus and Jesus will take it from there. You realize that? Introduce people to Jesus and then Jesus will take it from there. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. May God be pleased. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Lord, we thank you that this woman that was just there to bear the burden of her own sin and shame, Lord, that she came unto the influence of the gospel, came under the influence of the Savior. And Lord, you changed her heart. And she brought others, not just to tell them, but to challenge them to see only Jesus. Lord, may today we see only Jesus. May we see the need, be willing to nudge people, and may you play out the narrative in our lives, that we would honor you. We thank you for this time. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen.